Anyways, the future.
Or, common sense, Albuquerque down or something, be careful. Tom will take care of the track equalization. Put him in. Now, does it matter if he says he had an 80 speed run? Does it matter if he was beaten 12 lengths? No. Good example the other day that Dick talks about. A fellow called him up. I lost this race. Why? Horse was beaten, 8 lengths behind the 109 and 10.
11 behind the 109 and 3. The horses that he used, right, was beaten 4 behind the 111 and 4.
You got a 110 and 4 against a 111 and 8.
Second call was even worse.
Why? Because that fellow looked at the beaten lengths of the position call that did not look at the speed rating through the winner out with his face. Well, ladies, you know?
Really,
what
the big one? 960.
Anyone with eyes could have had it.
Did not look at the speed rate. How many of you read article after article, heard it? That speed ratings don't mean a thing because they ain't got that swing or whatever. Mm-hmm. How many of you read that and believe it? Where do you think that the cooks and everybody else's speed ratings come from, their speed ratings come from? What are they? They're a speed rating, aren't they? But they're not a speed rating based on something that really happened, such as the best time in the last, year now?
3 years?
Not something that really happened. Something that they made up to sell you their speed rating. They're right there in our racing form. They're no different. They're all fifth of a second here. That's a great tool. I wrote an article for Bert Norman's magazine since he was 6. He's a very nice guy. That a point of variant was worth half a length, which we have known. How many of you got the factor analysis manual in 1983? Most of the older people did. The whole factor analysis demonstrated that if beaten length was worth 0.08 in variant, or the beaten length is worth some type of bar between 15 and 16 feet per second, 0.08 by half of that. So a point of variant in the racing form is worth half a length and not a full length. We've always said that since 1983. That should come as no surprise. And yet, reading it in Bert Norman's newsletter, it became a revelation. Some of our chicken on us. Reading Bert's newsletter, I don't mind. Good man. Very good basic stuff. But these things have all been taught. And their value has all been taught many times before. So refining this even farther, now does a 78 qualify? Not necessarily, but let's go back in the 78s. Go back at his line and see if on a comparable variant, well, these that he runs an 80 or an 82 or 81. He always runs a 78 or a 70. That's as best as he does, regardless of variant. And he's out. But if this horse, just the line, the last couple of lines you're looking at, show an average of a 78, but he can run an 82 or an 83, then this puts him in. You understand why I'm saying that? 78 and 16 is what? 94, right? 82 and 10 is 92, right? Taking 82 and 5 is 87, right? 7 and a half. This way, you'll be less inclined to throw out horses because of a small variant. They ran real fast on a low variant. The horse runs an 85, it doesn't matter if he ran an 85 on 11 variant. If he can run 80s on 20 variant, 16. Everybody know what the average variant is at the track you're playing right now?
20.
20's 12, I think, about what, 18 times?
Yeah. But the sprints at Hollywood are really fast. About 90.
Yeah, right now they would be.
Yeah. But the routes are showing that
it's pretty easy to ascertain it, just run them down for a week. But you are, nationwide, they hover between 17 and 16 to 18. Year in, year out. It's an average variance. So what a horse brings against 16 and 17 variance is pretty much what a horse will do. Now just don't take one speed rating. Look at a cluster group of the horse's speed rating. If he's within one of the median, or the mean of the contenders, take them all if you want to. You get every horse in the race to start off with if you want to and see what the mean is of the entire race. Accept any horse, regardless of beat and length, if he's in room one. That's how you get 50 and 80 and $100 horses. Horses that run against fast pace. And that's one of our earliest things in this methodology was based on pace of the race, pace of the horse. Remember? Any of you remember the old pace of the race, pace of the horse? Horse has a 110 points pace of race, and he runs a 70 against that. And another horse has a 90 pace of the race, and he runs an 88. The horse who ran a 70 against a 110 is just as much a contender as the one who ran an 88 against a 90. We're talking about points now, not rating. Which is one of the reasons why UltraScan is such a valid program and led the way. If you want to get these high-paying horses, this is your primary qualifier. You've got manual after manual shows horses with 78s when it's within one of the mean of the rest of them, winning when they've been beaten 12 lengths, paying 50, 70, 80, 90 dollars. A couple of those go, well, how badly was this 32 horse, $32 horse beat? Remember?
About 5 3/4 lengths, I think.
Ordinarily, your rules, well, your people are bound by rules. What is it? 3 1/2? It has to be within 3 3/4 lengths. Yesterday's news. Now don't, you know, you've got to find the occasion when this is true. The big problem is people try to create long shots when they're facing legitimate 85, 86, 87, and then they take a horse who doesn't qualify on a speed rating through with a 78, and expect him to win. No way. The beaten lengths represent that the speed rating includes beaten lengths. If he had any beaten 20 lengths and he has an 80 speed rating, you know he ran against 100. And remember that your long shots derived from this program on those kinds of races that the two gentlemen who raised their hands shouldn't be playing. You're pretty selective, aren't you, Al, in the races you play? If you're selective in the races you play, if you're spot players, of course this is not for you. Because the race, if you play only those kinds of races that anybody can win, you should expect to win them. I don't disdain anybody for doing it, don't get me wrong, but anybody within reason can win those kinds of races which you isolate because it has enough of the factors to make it stand. This is why most of your experts have low average rating. Because they demand criteria that the horse must meet certain criteria before they will bet it. If it doesn't meet that criteria, they throw it out. And that includes most of your large paying horses. The kinds of horses we get. And I use Quinn. I love the man. He's great. And I don't love him. But he's great. He's very good to us. But he looks at some of our long shots and says, well, but she doesn't lose the race. She doesn't play. They isolate the kinds of races where the criterion they set up as essential is met by horses in that race. That eliminates all but 2 3 4 races a day. I know very few of you are capable of racing. How many of you go to the races, play one or two races a day, consistently? That's good, you got that kind of discipline. Do you really have it, though? Do you have that kind of, you drive to a racetrack, you pay your admission, you park the damn car, you get in there, and you're going to just stay for one or two races? That's all you're going to be. That's great discipline. I admire that. And that kind of person can make a lot of money. It takes them longer. You know, it's like two can live as cheaply as one, but not as long. That's a mental statistic. So if you only play two races a day, and Jimmy and I play seven, it's going to take you a number of more days have the financial opportunities that we have. Furthermore, in the five extra that we play, we have these long shots, which, so I presume that most of you are here because you accept the philosophy of our own human weakness. And, you know, this method is derived from my weakness. My failures in the beginning based on inability to understand Tom Ainsley and other experts, 147 variables in each race. Can you imagine being surrounded by convicted felons who you've told were going to develop a methodology going to make you a winner? If you just stop betting now and be a good boy and behave and do what I tell you, you're going to be a winner. And then you open a book, supposed to be the book. And it says there are 143 variables to consider before making your first bet. These guys, I mean, they're great on a gear shift of a truck. That's five or six variables. If you talk about 143 variables to them, and you've got a prison ride. And it was the same with me. I can't figure 146 variables before betting a race. So consequently, I was very timid in the beginning, wanted to play every race. I wanted to make a fortune on small money. I was scared. I ran outside when they were calling the race so I wouldn't have to hear it. Had all the trepidations that all of you have ever had. But one thing that cures that gradually, now you can watch a race, win or lose, with enjoyment. One, the only thing that cured it is not therapy. In my case, it was winning. You win enough, folks, and all your psychological problems disappear. The problem is it gets you to consistently go through a 21 race pattern on a consistent basis. Now, how many of you do that? Dick Schmidt was one person in purple who doesn't. So steadfast that it is almost like it's a machine. Maybe, are you a machine? How many of you can do that? How many of you can go 21 races betting precisely what your bank says you're supposed to bet, win or lose, and bet the proper amount on the 21st as you did on the first? Well, I figured you would. Instead, sharp. Las Vegas, one of the few people who never destroyed the ambience of Las Vegas. A new member. He's helping us with a new program. We're going to have animated horses going around the racetrack. No numbers. At the end, it rings a bell. And the blue light goes on for the winner, the green light for the place horse, and the yellow light for the show horse. And that's how you bet. We're providing the formula. He's providing the animation. We look forward to that. There's your problem, folks. You just, by not raising your hand, just cited your particular problem. Why don't you do it? Is it a lack of faith? And if it's a lack of faith, in whom is it a lack of faith? At the end of 20 races, when you did 63%, do you ever want to kick yourself for only betting $2 on that $20 winner that came up after the three losses? Even Al Borgen is on his head here, and he's about as cool as anybody. It's the greatest problem we all have. It's a problem that I encountered in the beginning. Well, gee, we lost it. Let's just bet a little bit on this. Or he's 20-1. Let's just bet it to play for show. Or any one of 100 excuses. The only way to succeed is to have faith that you will do in the next 20 race cycle at least as well as you did in the last 20 race cycle. The cure for it, I'll tell you again and I'll get off, is to keep records, to throw them on the floor upside down, and to at random take out 20 races. They're not in sequence, they're at random. Look to see how well you did, and then you see the 20 races. If you made money, you had a sufficient number of winners in each one of those cycles, or in 9 out of 10 of them, or even 8 out of 10 of them, why do you lose faith that you won't have the same success in the next 20 race cycles? In each 20 race cycle, you look and see 2 or 3 losers in a row. You'll see where you lost faith after them. Failed to bet properly on the next horse that came in and paid well. And that was a downfall. That's why you win races. For those of you who do not win money, that's why you don't win. Money in proportion to your win percentage. That's the secret of success. Not picking winners. Betting them properly. And betting only to win. There's so many place and show opportunities out there. So many horses that are designated can only place. How many of you still bet to win only? How many of you have seen your winner place or your pay 12 and 8 points to play on? All of them. There are four opportunities practically in every race. Win and place, show, and exactly. To be a really good handicapper, to be a professional in our standard of profession, you should be able to exact money from all those positions. There are some races where you have to be in doubt as to who's going to win. I know I am now, even Jim Bradshaw's in doubt. In those races, we try to find the next best horse, the horse that fits in the money pattern, and say, to heck with who's going to win this race, let's take some money out of it. If you go to the races and you tend to bet on every race, or virtually every race, which that is human nature, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it, at least exact from every race the economic opportunities other than win. You can't win every race. There are some races that are just totally unwinnable from the standpoint of getting the winners. There are always standout horses that are going to be in the money. And in a hodgepodge race where the public can't make up its mind about the winner, where you get your high in the money prices. There's money in every race. I'll never forget my professor when I was studying back in the statistics class, which I was introduced to Fair Mutual with a little Russian accent, said, Mr. Sutton, look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 payoffs, 6 payoffs. Win, play, show, play, show, in every race, and it only takes a minute and 12 seconds. Very, very few financial opportunities with 6 payoffs, and now with the exact 7, that takes place in the space of 100, a minute and 12 seconds, or a minute and 49, or a minute and 51 seconds. Kinetic generator, Jimmy will demonstrate today, the key not only to getting winners, but the key to big place and show prizes and the money prizes. We also have added a feature. How many of you have heard us talking about the sprinter route multiplier? Couldn't figure it out. Didn't bother to figure it out. We now have an automatic built-in sprinter route multiplier, which Jimmy will demonstrate in the new KGN. Before I go, I want to tell you that it has one little readout in there that you would be very wise to look at. It will convert the projected times of a sprinter into a route. underneath it, it says, does this printer really belong in today's route? And you're supposed to make a judgment there and say no if it doesn't, because times it projects are far slower than any of the real routers in the world, and not use it. But our fear is that a lot of you will say, well, probably not, but I'm going to put him in to see what it looks like. You put him in, Judy's going to show you today what happens if you put in some of these horses to see what they look like. Hopefully his demonstration will demonstrate to you that you should not put in certain horses, and you should put only those that project close to the best routers. So now at great expense, in the airfare and t-shirts, here is in the hat rack.
This is really kind of eager. This will be a new program. I was going to talk to you about handicapping in general, handicapping with aging, handicapping with energy. I didn't know when I made the statement that I wasn't going to teach matchup any longer, that it upset so many people, that they really, really enjoy doing the matchup, and they enjoy hearing me talk about the matchup because it made them more aware of what a horse race really is. The reason that I said that I would never teach the matchup is for the very reason that people started thinking, hey, I can do this. I don't need the programs. I don't need the computers.
Arnold, do.
Thanks.
And they would end up, you know, losing. They said, well, hey, the matchup doesn't work. I had, and I would see articles on the follow-up of someone think that they could do the matchup and say, hey, the matchup got me this horse. And it would literally infuriate me. And people would say, hey, look, this horse runs a 22 on the lead. This horse runs a 22-1. The 22 is going to win the race. I'd say, well, hey, look, not quite. Well, this is what you said. No, this isn't what I said. You know, people try to say, well, Jimmy, you said this, or Jimmy, you said that. So, I have decided to write the second or number two matchup. Because the matchup is the reality to winning at racing. If necessary, I will teach it. If it will help you become winners, I will teach it. You know, you take a look at a horse that ran a 22-45-110. What do I know, or how do I know when this horse can win the race? For the very reason I know that this horse runs from a 5.1, 330 yards, to a 6.1 at the end of the race. How do I know that? From thousands and thousands and thousands of races that I have matched up. When will this horse win today? If he can run a 5.1 and end up with a 6.1. This is telling me that if this horse could run a 5.1 all the way around the track, that he would run a 108. But when he's in competition, the acceleration and the matchup forces him to run a 110. Now, what is today's matchup going to force him to run? If he is forced to run a 5.2 or a 5, if he can get away with a 5.2 in the first 330 yards, he's all right. If he's forced to run a 5-second 330 yards, look what it's going to cost him at the end. He's going to run about a 111. How do I know this? Listen, people, I am not a mathematical genius. I coached track. Years ago, when I would make the statement for every fifth of a second that a horse runs in the early stages of the race, it would cost him 2/5 of a second at the end of the race, I was almost laughed out of Perko. I said, what's that cowboy talking about? He doesn't know what he's talking about. So Huey Maul got up, and Huey didn't know I had ever said this. And Huey Maul is a mathematician, a physicist. He got up in the Las Vegas seminar and proved by a mathematical formula that precisely 2/5 of a second is what it costs a horse for every step that he had to run early in the stages of the race. Did it make me feel good? No. It really didn't, because, you know, I didn't have to have it proved to me. I already knew without being a mathematician, because I ain't know what horses can do. Howard mentioned unbridled. Yeah, I bet unbridled in the classic Breeder Cup, and I hate the horse. I literally hate horses that win off of other horses that are better horses. Okay, well, Jimmy, hey, he's got to be a better horse than Mr. Frisky. You take Mr. Frisky and unbridled and put them out side by side in a match race, Mr. Frisky will turn around and watch Unbridled finish. He will watch him as he crosses the finish line. And it really, I hate horses that win on the expense of other horses. Here are these horses out there trying their hearts out to win a race. And battling from the gate to the wire. And then some stupid horse that couldn't win wins the race. It irritates me. Because I, in coaching track, have had it happen to my youngsters that I know our heads and shoulders above. There's one race. And then they interviewed the trainer after the race and said, well, you know, we decided to hold the horse back a little bit so he'd have something at the end. Yeah. Interviewed the trainer of rhythm when he won one race. He breaks slow almost falls down, and the trainer had the gall to stand up and said, "We decided that we was holding back." They didn't have any other choice. Yes, I can teach how to do this. How to get these incremental velocities. I can take the horse from the wire to 25 furlong. And tell you within that much what he will run each position. Each 330 yards. And I can break this down even more. And this is something that we have tried to do in caging. A gentleman just asked me about Remington Park. Said he went to Remington Park and I don't think he won a race. Said, "What do I think about it?" I said, "I think it's one of the toughest tracks in the United States." Why? Because one day they may run 113s and the next day they run 108s. Because of that so-called Equitrack or whatever it's called. Equalize it. It doesn't equalize. Well, how do you handicap it? You've got to be able to see what horses can really truly do. You've got to be able to do some of the things. I was over, I don't know what day the gentleman was there. I hit 5 out of 7. One horse bets. I would have hit 7 for 7 if I wanted to play 2 horses. The 2 that I didn't play, I would have swept the card if I had wanted to play 2 horses. I said, "Yeah, hey, this is a 2-horse methodology. I prefer playing 1 horse. I'm not telling you to do that. Because if I lose the race, it doesn't upset me. It doesn't bother me. Because I know I'm going to get another. Whereas a number of people wouldn't know that they could get it." I had one of the clients, the guy I've been teaching, walked up to me this Saturday that I was at the track, and he said, "Jimmy, I've made a decision." I said, "Oh, really, Max, what's that?" He said, "I have decided I'm going to change my betting strategy." I said, "Hey, that's great, Max." He said, "I'm going to bet 1 horse. I said, "Max, I don't think that's very wise." He said, "Why?" I said, "Well, hell, you can't win betting 2 horses. So how in the world do you think you're going to win betting 2 or 1? The day that I hit 5 of the 7, he didn't hit a race. He called me and said, "I think I'll go back to 2. I said, "You know, you might be better off betting 3. Howard talked about Jim Quinn, Andy Byers. These guys, they don't call me a handicapper. I'm not in their league. They call me a picker. Picker. Because I don't handicap horses, I pick horses. You know, I thought, well, you know, I don't know. I'm picking the winner. They are handicapping the loser. at Expo 90. Any buyers, you know, and this is not derogatory. They have seen what I can do. Any buyer just fans and shakes his head at me. He said, I don't believe you. Paul Mellis had the greatest time that he's ever had. Paul Mellis is a six-figure winner at the track. Over $125,000 a year this man makes playing the races. At Expo 90, he had the greatest time that he's ever had. He played my horses and won. And didn't have to do any of his chicken wings or any of his other stuff. But, you know, I really respect Paul Mellis. I really truly do. Because he believes in what he does. He's got shoe boxes of 3x5 carpet. I mean, hundreds of them on every horse in the New York circuit. He's got a closet full of past racing programs. The man really, really works. He figures the wind at Aqueduct when they come around the turn, how much it's going to slow the horse down. Wow! You know. That's, you know, that's terrific. That's great. He's gone 27 in a row without picking a winner. And walk up, he put $1,000 on the next one. Not me. Not me. And not most of you could do that. You know, it would completely shatter my confidence. You know, I'd lose three in a row because I know I'm going to hit. You know, I think if I was betting two horses a race and lose three in a row, it would shatter my confidence. But you know, I'm so cocky that when I lose, I say, I should have won that race. My horse just didn't do what he was supposed to do. I should have won the race. I was right. He just didn't run. No, not that they steal him, the matchup didn't develop the way that I thought that it would. I bet that little horse that in the Breeders' Cup from England or wherever he was from, one horse bet about $100 on him. Hey, I got the race won. I've got it won. He's coming down the stretch. I know he's got enough left because I ciphered him out for each 300 yards. Jump the shadow. He loses. I lose $100. Upset me? But I was right. The horse would have won the race. I just lost money. I come right back. I bet the little filly, Gopher One, or you know, that breaks down. I got the race won. I bet $100 on her to win. I got the race won. She breaks her foreleg. I know I've got it won. How do you know? I said, I had ciphered out what she could finish in. She's going to win by that much, and I know it. As soon as she made her move, I knew where she was going to make it and knew that she was going to win the race. I lose another $100. I said, wow, you know, horse racing gods ain't looking too favorable on me today. What are you going to do? Going to bet these turf races? No, I don't think so. You know, I don't think so. You know, I can figure out what these foreign horses could do. I can build in my mind a parallel comparison chart. But I said, I don't think so. I think I'll just get the classic. And I looked and I said, God, no. I had to make my money today on Unbridled. I had to make my money on Unbridled. But you know, I said, okay, Unbridled, do your thing, babe. I'm going to bet on it. Unbridled did it. So I end up with a good day. I could have been stubborn and say, hey, I'm a bit Unbridled. But I know when Unbridled can win, and I know what it takes for Unbridled. You need to get a concept of a horse race. I had a guy from Oregon send me Portland Meadows. He sent me four races that he wanted me to look at. Three of them he left the winner out. You know, so I called him and I said, hey, look, how am I going to evaluate your work? I said, yeah, I can put the horse in and he wins, but why didn't you have him in? He said, well, so he was beaten pretty bad at the end. Gosh, man, I said, the horse ran against a 1:11 1/2, a 6 furlong. And you've got horses in there that was ran against a 1:16? You know, hey, you don't have to be very smart to sign around. But there's about a 50-length difference there. You know, the horse could have been beaten 25 lengths to beat these pigs. You know, I said, I hope you don't get too serious about handicapping. You know, I said, maybe I'll just send you some guppies. till you can see that a 1:11 is going to be a 1:16. You're not going to win a heck of a lot of horse races. People, this is really honest. This guy really sent me the race right back. Dick and I were talking. He said he'd got almost the same situation from a guy. Horses run 1:11. He leaves this horse out that had run against a 1:09. Evaluate horses that you're putting in. Know what that a 1:11, 6 furlong is. Know that that is almost 50 lengths on a 1:16 horse. Well, that horse could win, he'd have to be running in mud up to his jawbone. Well, that's 50 lengths. Well, I thought I'd put him in the computer and see what the computer do to him. Yeah, put him in there. Do that number two adjust and deal that sucker up there. Hey, I'm going to go bet. Look at here, he's going off 50 to 1. I'm going to go bet on him. And he's lucky to go off 100 to 1. Yeah, I also respect Andy Byers. These people that do the speed charts. You know, they do a lot of work. They're convinced that what they do is right. But I know they're wrong. I don't go around and tell them, hey, you're wrong. I know the final time of a race depends on how that horse sticks his nose out the starting gate.